The church at Corinth, of all the churches to whom Paul wrote letters, had the greatest difficulty in separating themselves from the world. This is because Corinth was a center of Greek spirituality, Greek thought, and Greek culture. And it was, so to speak, as if that very culture was in the DNA of the people of Corinth. Their life was so shaped by Greek culture that it took St. Paul a whole letter, 16 chapters long, to help them realize how countercultural it is to follow Jesus Christ. And one area where the countercultural nature of the gospel was so hard for them to realize was in relation to the Eucharist. For here in 1 Corinthians is the clearest teaching in the whole of Paul's writing on what it is we are doing at Mass. And for the Corinthians, here was their problem. They were kind of schizophrenic. They would go to Mass on Sunday, but then some of them would say, well, let's just go down the street to the Greek temple on Monday and let's participate in the sacrifice that is happening there. St. Paul wanted these people to know the truth of the dictum, you are what you eat. Or, to put it a little differently, we become what we eat. And this is something we're so aware of when it comes to diet today. Perhaps more than ever before in the history of sport, athletes are so preoccupied with what they will and will not eat because they realize that their diet will either enhance or detract from their performance in their particular sport. We hear repeatedly how in countries like Canada, obesity is a problem because so many people are eating too much fast food and foods with empty calories, and it's affecting the way they are able to live. It's affecting their health. The rise of things like diabetes is very clear. And while our culture is preoccupied with this, and it's important to be concerned about our diet, absolutely, where we seem to have lost sight of this is that it has a spiritual implication as well. One commentator on 1 Corinthians observed of our culture, today, the idea that words and gestures about God have any real meaning seem to most people outdated. They are just the creations of a human mind. And no one creation has any more value than another, since it's all wordplay. And in the case of ritual, it is simply ceremony. And that was the problem in Corinth. Some of them thought, well, yeah, we're going to Mass, that's one ceremony, and we're going down the street to the temple, that's another ceremony. It's all just ritual anyhow. It's just human creation, and in the end, it doesn't really mean a great deal. However, St. Paul wants us to realize, he wanted his first readers to realize that the Eucharist is the most important reality in the world. For as he says in these most famous words, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? Did you hear the reference there to the cup of blessing? At the Passover meal, there were four cups that the Jewish people would celebrate during the Seder. The third cup was called the cup of blessing. And at the Seder meal, the father would take that cup and he would speak in such a way that he would pronounce the blessing, the thanksgiving prayer. Blessed are you, God of all creation, and from you we receive the fruit of the vine, words we say at every Mass. The cup of blessing is the cup referred to in today's psalm, where the psalmist says, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. The cup of blessing was the cup Jesus took at the Last Supper, that third cup, and when he said, this is my blood, it is the cup of the Lord. Now, as many of you know, I'm a relatively new Catholic, and I sometimes get really excited in reading the Bible now as a Catholic. And here's one of these examples. Do you know that Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians in the year 53, 54 AD? staggering when you think about it, because here is laid out for us the Catholic understanding of the Eucharist. It's clearly, clearly stated. And not only does it affirm for us the fact that Jesus is here, body, blood, soul, and divinity, St. Paul also affirms the universal character of the Eucharist when he says, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we partake of the one bread. Do you see what Paul is wanting the Corinthians to understand? This is not some empty ritual. This is not the same thing that's happening down the street at your Greek temple, where they're sacrificing to demons, not to the Lord. No, this meal, this very thing that we are doing, is at the heart of our life. And so for you to come to Mass on Sunday and then to go down to the pagan temple on Tuesday is like a marathon runner eating at McDonald's four times a week. It's just a contradiction. It just does not make sense. So what does this mean for us? Well, because we are Catholic and because we come to the Mass so regularly, we can sometimes take it for granted. So we might not be going down the street to the Greek temple, but we can come to the Mass and we can lose a sense of who is here, of what is here, and how the Mass brings us into this place where we are joined together with Catholic Christians around the world. We can never take the Mass lightly. We can never sort of say, oh yeah, here we are again. Paul is very clear in the last verse of this chapter, or of this passage, excuse me, that if we sort of take what we're doing here lightly, we're provoking the Lord to jealousy. And are we stronger than he? And you need to understand that when the word jealousy is used in the Bible in relation to God, it's the language of a lover. It's the language of a lover who, so to speak, and let me be blunt about this, comes home and sees the husband in bed with another woman. That God is jealous for us because his love for us is infinite, a love that is made known to us in the Eucharist. Do you know that St. John Paul II's last encyclical was about the Mass, about the Eucharist? John Paul II loved the Eucharist. And he understood that it is the very heartbeat, the very DNA of our life as Christians. And so in echoing St. Paul, St. John Paul II said of the Mass, all of us who take part in the Eucharist are called to discover through this sacrament the profound meaning of our actions in the world in favor of development and peace. To discover through the sacrament the profound meaning of our actions, says the Pope. And then listen to what he goes on to say. And to receive from it the strength to commit ourselves ever more generously to following the example of Christ, who in this sacrament lays down his life for his friends. St. John Paul II, one of the greatest theologians, one of the only popes to be called great, understood the greatness of what we are doing here. And the Pope reminds us, it's not enough just to gaze on the body of Christ. It's not enough just to receive Jesus, but we are invited to become the body of Christ because, as Paul wants us to see today, we are what we eat. Today is a day when we honor Our Lady. And Mary is constantly interceding for us that in our lives we will magnify the Lord, because the same Lord who is intimately and immediately present in the sacrifice of the altar is the Lord present in us and the Lord we are to make present in the world. What a gift the Eucharist is. What a precious, life-giving reality. May we never, ever take Jesus for granted, because this is the meal. This is what matters eternally.